Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
ESNY.
All right, this is episode 127 of the Bleacher Creatures Yankees podcast presented by Elite Sports New York, Crossing Broad, Warwick Gaming, XL Media, and as always, Rivercrest NYC. We're a week away. 1 week, Allison. I didn't think we'd be here a couple months ago. I didn't think on March 31st that we'd be here 1 week away from opening day, but here we are. We made it.
I didn't think we'd be here at all. to be completely honest, prepared. I was very negative about it all, but yeah,
prepared. For like June, maybe even July. After the luck that we've had with baseball seasons since the inception of this podcast, it was nice to just win one. It was nice to win one, and it's nice to be back. We're doing some weird things in spring training. We love weird spring training things, batting Josh Donaldson leadoff. It's pretty weird. Think they're going to do it on opening day, though. Yeah,
it is weird.
It is weird. So we're going to get into some predictions for this season for the Yankees. Let's just right off the bat, where did the Yankees finish in the AL East, Allison?
I want to say I would love to say second. I would love to say second, but I'm aiming more towards third. I think they are going to surprise us. I think that they are going to complete the Aaron Judge extension before the season starts. And I think that's going to be a huge motivator. I do think they're going to do better than we are initially anticipating, but man, it is really, really hard to see them up. Even like in spring training against the Blue Jays have crushed them.
Yeah. The Blue Jays are good. And speaking of Aaron Judge's extension, I saw maybe the number $30 million per year floating around, a $30 million AAV. It's pretty good. That's a payday. That's a payday right there for Aaron Judge.
Good for him.
So have we just decided that the ship on first place has sailed? It's just first place. Just
I think so.
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
Like I said in one of our previous episodes, I feel like if the Blue Jays do not take advantage of this experience right now and don't win first place in the AL East, they're never going to do it.
No, this is their year, but always the Rays are always going to be the Rays. I think third place is fair. The Yankees did get better this offseason. They did get better, even though it doesn't look like it. They did get better. Gleyber Torres has looked pretty good so far. I don't want to overreact to spring training games. We don't want to fall
Daddy
into
power.
That trap. Yeah, he's got dad power now. He had a kid, which is crazy because he's, 25? Yeah, no thank you.
Yeah.
No thank you to the kid at 25. I don't know. He looks pretty good so far. DJ LeMahieu looks pretty good. We got a lot of underperformances last year. Josh Donaldson is a major upgrade at third base. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, if he's a league average hitter, upgrade at shortstop over Gleyber Torres. That's an upgrade. I don't know how they're going to do the DJ and Gleyber thing at second base and get both guys enough at bats every week. Cause you can't just be like, all right, well, DJ is only going to get, you know, four games. He's going to get two games at second. He's going to get two games at third, maybe a game at first, maybe five games a week really isn't actually all that bad. But it's going to be a little mix and match kind of deal. And I don't love that. I don't really love that for anyone unless you're like Ben Zobrist, who is just unique.
Well, you know, we saw last year with DJ LeMahieu, like when he transitioned to every single position on the field, essentially, besides starting pitcher, which, you know, love to see it, but unfortunately we're not going to see it.
Anthony Rizzo is the designated pitcher.
He definitely suffered pretty significantly offensively. And like, sometimes you have to sit and think and you're like, sometimes when they're not really focused on defense or they don't really have an exact role, like, they kind of struggle on the other end of the ball too. So who knows? I don't know, but I do not like the shuffling around. Like I feel like it needs to be pretty set. This is what you're going to be doing. Or even if it's maybe Glaber and DJ just kind of trading off time, whatever the case may be, but it has to be a little more set.
Yeah. And you got to say the trade talks involving Glaber Torres has certainly toned down a little bit over the last couple of weeks since he's been hitting well in spring training. He looks pretty good defensively. Yeah, I mean, he's still Glaber Torres, but you know, give me average second base defense. I think I'm fine with that. And all of a sudden now the Yankees, I haven't heard anything about Frankie Montas or Sean Manaea. I feel like the A's are just going to keep them at this point until the trade deadline. It seems like nobody is bidding for them because there's no movement, and that doesn't really make much sense, but who are we to question the A's? Who are we?
I don't know. And, you know, I was thinking today because I saw that obviously September 9th, they are going to be honoring Derek Jeter. He's going to be there. He's going to be, you know, throwing a pitch. They're giving away all this stuff, you know? So I went and looked at tickets because of course, like my sister and I were planning on going to the Paul O'Neill game.
Of course.
And I was like, ooh, change of plans. And she's like, no, it's a Friday. I can't get there. I'm like, oh, okay. Okay. But I was thinking, and I'm looking at the schedule and it says Tampa Bay Rays versus the New York Yankees. I am still in this mindset that I've been since I was a kid where I'm like, oh, that's such a shitty game to have Derek Jeter be at, you know, like to honor Derek Jeter, because I'm so used to the Rays being shit when I was younger. And it was always just like, we never wanted to play. We always wanted to play the Rays because they were so, so bad. But now that's a good game.
You're doing so much cursing on the podcast today.
Oh, sorry.
What is your mother going to think, Allison?
Oh, come on. You know, my mom doesn't listen to this. Let's go. But seriously, I mean, like when I was a kid, I used to think like the A's were so, they weren't good. Like, and now I'm going to get older and the A's someday are going to be pretty good. And then all of a sudden I'll be like, ah, I remember when they sucked.
Yeah, but I feel like we always lost in Oakland anyway, though, even when they weren't good.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, we're going out there. It's a 10 p.m. start. The game's wrapping up at like 1:30 in the morning. I got that
Any West Coast team was always a World Series level team when the Yankees played on the West Coast.
Couldn't do it on the West Coast. And to be fair, we beat up the Mariners a lot. The Mariners are going to be pretty good this year. I'm pretty excited about the Mariners, but we beat up on the Mariners a lot, and the A's, man, it's just one of those teams. It's like the Rays. Are they a fun watch? No, but for some reason they will always just have our number, especially at home. Mm-hmm. But we can explain that with the Rays because Tropicana Field is a nightmare stadium.
Oh yeah. We really got to get that petition going to just burn that place to the ground.
I wonder if they talk about that on like Tampa Bay radio. Do they just hop on and be like, well, another game at the Trop last night, the most disgusting ballpark that's ever existed? Or do you think they've just kind of accepted their fate? Or even maybe they even like the Trop. They're like, you know what? This is our advantage. Our advantage is having catwalks.
It's got history. It's got the advantage of they know how the ballpark plays. They can easily be like, oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's not an out. That's actually a home run.
Yeah, sorry,
you know,
guys.
They can kind of bend the rules because it's their ballpark. So, yeah, of course they love it. Like, I don't see why they would want to go to another stadium.
Here's a prediction for you. How many balls do the Yankees hit off the catwalk this year?
Did they? Like,
Predicting for this coming year.
Oh, predicting
how many times
this year?
Do we go to Tampa Bay and they hit the ball off the catwalk? And it lands for a hit.
Oh, it lands for a hit? It's only got to be like four.
That's still so many.
I know.
That's so many for a professional baseball team, man.
Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah, that'd be an interesting one. I'd be interested to see how that one plays out.
I should keep track of this. We should just come up with prop bets for the whole season. Prop bets.
Yeah,
how many times do we hit the catwalk and it lands for a hit? Four. Set the over under at 4.5. That'll be good. Mm-hmm. That's a good number right there. I think I'm going to take the under. I think the Rays are more likely to get it for hits because just nature in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
It's a force. It's a force. They just won't let the Yankees ever win in Tampa Bay. Nothing ever goes right for us there.
But I mean, I guess the benefit is, you know, Tom Brady's back in Tampa Bay and, you know, New York kind of has Tom Brady's number. So who knows? Maybe the tides could turn.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I would say when we were talking with Nick Tyrell a couple weeks ago, he's mentioned the Yankees really weren't that bad against Tampa Bay last year. And they weren't. They weren't. They were basically 500.
They were bad against the Orioles. That was the problem.
Yeah, bad against the Orioles. That's the problem. But it didn't feel like that, though. It felt like the Rays were running us ragged all year.
Well, you know how fans get and you know how the media gets. And if the Yankees aren't winning every single game, then they're going to find something to nitpick about, which is understandable because I do it too. I'm not going to lie there. But at the same time, you look at the thing at the very end of the season, you kind of look back and you're like, oh, that wasn't really so bad. But the Orioles thing, that was bad.
That's the difference. That was the difference between home field advantage in the wild card game and playing in Fenway. It's the fact that we got smoked by the Orioles all year.
The Red Sox crushed the Orioles last year and the Yankees did not. And that was what caused them to quite literally lose that home field advantage and end up at Fenway Park.
And it caused Giancarlo Stanton to hit three balls off the fucking monster. And that did not leave for home runs. Actually, I think one of them was a home run, but still, still two balls. And he was the only offense that day. We could have won. We could have won if we were just at home.
Him and the one, no, actually it was Anthony Rizzo hit a home run. The one home run from Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, that was a meaningless one. That was like the eighth inning, right? And we were already down by like five runs. Just like, oh, so nice little solo shot for Anthony Rizzo. That's nice. Yeah, Anthony Rizzo, a full year of Anthony Rizzo. Let's start there. What do you think his numbers look like at the end of the year?
You know, I think last year he kind of had a little bit of an adjustment period, which makes sense.
We didn't get his best. We didn't get his best.
Right, exactly. We didn't get his best. We also, you know, it wasn't really the best. It didn't feel to me, and maybe I'm mistaken, but it didn't feel to me as though it was the best type of environment last year. Like, I felt like everyone was so negative. The players were all so negative, and it just was a tough one to kind of come into. And of course, he is a lefty. There's this beautiful thing called the short porch. I love it.
Beautiful.
It's great. I love Anthony Rizzo mostly for his defense. So I'm hoping that his offense is going to pick up. But I would say if Anthony Rizzo stays healthy, I'd give him a 280 batting average, which isn't terrible, but I want to see the home runs go up.
Yeah, no, 280 is not bad at all. You know what? I'm going to bring up projections too, official projections while we're doing this. Yeah, but first year without Luke Voit in a while. I should say without Luke Voit in a while. He's been injured half the fucking year, every year anyway. But this is like Anthony Rizzo doesn't really get hurt. That's it. He's going to play like 150 games for us. We're going to have a solid first baseman. And that was fine last year with Luke Voit because you could slide DJ LeMahieu over there. And that now it causes a problem that you won't just have an easy spot to put Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu. But who do you want to do next, DJ or Gleyber?
Let's go with DJ.
DJ, what are DJ's stats looking like this year? Do you think he gets over 300?
I think he gets very close. I'm not sure if he gets right back over it. I think, okay, let's do this because I have a number just like sticking in my head right now. I'm thinking 302. 302 is sticking in my head right now. I would like to see him go back over 300. I feel like last year was a little bit more of a fluke. And I feel like already in spring, he's seeing the ball well. And he's not trying to do too much, which I feel like was a bit of the issue last year. He kind of had that huge season weighing on his shoulders and MVP level numbers. Like he essentially carried the team. And I think he was tired. The poor man was tired. Like imagine having all that pressure and all that stress to be like, oh, it's fine. DJ's got it. You know, hitting a home run in the ALCS in the top of the ninth inning, like making these moves, doing all these things. Like he probably felt so much stress and so much pressure, but I do feel like he's still a great hitter. He's seeing the ball really well. His swing looks nice and compact. I really like what I'm seeing so far from him. Spring doesn't always translate to the regular season, but I think that this year it's going to be good, but it's not going to be the monster year that he had.
Yeah. Fangraphs has him projected for, what is that? A 283. I lost it already. Yeah, 283 batting average and a 774 OPS. I think that's low. He hit that homer the other last week or something, that home run to left field. He popped that. I've never seen DJ LeMahieu hit a ball that hard in my life. Right.
he is feeling it at the moment. And of course, like I said, spring does not always translate into the regular season. We know that very, very well, but at least right now we're kind of seeing shades of the DJ LeMahieu that we saw in his first year with the Yankees.
Yeah. And Anthony Rizzo is projected for an 833 OPS. That sounds pretty good to me. That sounds good to me.
I'll take it.
Yeah. Let's talk Gleyber Torres now. What are we looking at with Gleyber Torres? What are the problems? What are the problems with Gleyber Torres this year?
Well, he's not hitting the ball necessarily on the ground. So, which is good in a way because he's got more, he seems to have more power. Like I said, daddy power. But, you know, I want to see more variety here. I feel like he either only hits the ball on the ground or he only hits the ball in the air. And I feel like one of these days is going to come back to bite him because the pitchers are going to know exactly how to pitch to him to force him to overcommit and overswing and pop that ball up. So I'm a little worried about Gleyber, but I do like what I'm seeing so far at the very least.
Yeah. So Gleyber Torres comes into camp. He's a little trimmer. He looks trimmer. You know who looks really trim? Aaron Hicks. Looks great. Sure. But Gleyber Torres comes in a little trimmer, a little leaner, maybe a little bit more muscle. He's getting back to that all fields approach. Said Dylan Lawson was working on having him drive the ball the other way because he said in the last couple of years, Gleyber Torres has been slicing those balls to the right side instead of driving them. I think that's big. I think that makes a difference. And I think I need Gleyber Torres to have a bounce back year. I like really need it because we have just so much personal investment in Gleyber Torres. He's one of our baby bombers. He's one of our young guys. And he's getting to that stage where the Yankees are going to have to make decisions. Like, is Gleyber Torres worth this much money in arbitration? Or should we trade him? Or should we not sign him if he has another bad year and just let him walk away? Those decisions are coming up. They're coming up this year. So I hope he has a really good year. And I hope he has a really good next year too. I don't think he would get an extension this offseason coming up. But if he has two good years in a row, yeah, extend him after that.
I mean, this is make it or break it for him, honestly. You know, you're absolutely right. And it's he's no longer got the excuse of like, oh, he's a kid, he'll straighten out, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, not anymore.
I read an article that opened with Gleyber Torres is only 25. Really?
Yeah,
he's 25 already. he's not a kid anymore. He's not a kid. He's a veteran. He's one of the veterans on this team now.
At this age, you would be graduated from college. You would be a couple years into either, you know, just, well, I mean, to be real, you could still be in grad school, but a couple years into a full-time position.
And you're probably still doing fake work at that full-time position too.
Right.
Like data entry. No. Gleyber Torres.
Is in engineer mode right now. This is engineer Gleyber. His time is up, kid.
All right.
Got to make a decision. But no, actually, I wanted to mention this real quick before I forgot. But did you see they started doing the mic'd up series again during spring training?
Yes.
And Joey Gallo didn't realize once again, like we always realize this during this time of year, but there are some funny people on the team.
I think we kind of knew Joey Gallo was funny. He did that thing with LinkedIn. Or is that special skills striking out? That was hysterical. Getting dressed weird. Joey Gallo is a funny guy. I'm glad that came through on the mic'd up. I'm still looking for we're looking for the next Zach Britton, where nobody knew Britton was like hysterical until this mic'd up series went. And it's like everybody knew Tommy Canley was hysterical. And all of a sudden, here's Britt, like the secret star of the Tommy Canley mic'd up day. Like, well, that came out of nowhere. Now, who's the next guy? Who's the next one? It's not Josh Donaldson. I know that for a fact. It's definitely not Josh Donaldson. Is it Isaiah Kiner-Falefa? Is it him? Maybe. I don't know. It's Licky. Licky might be funny. Who knows?
Maybe.
Lefties are weird.
They are a weird breed for sure. But I just really enjoyed because he talked to himself so much. And then I remember one of the coaches came over. He's like, oh, you talking to yourself again? He's like, huh? Yeah.
I'm not mic'd up. Nope. Can't let Judgy know. Trying to get Judge on the hot mic.
Oh yeah, for sure. And they're calling him out because he's afraid to play center field.
Oh man, I wouldn't want to play center. I wouldn't want to play left field in Yankee Stadium either. Left field's tough. It's right field.
My favorite position, actually.
That's, well, on a normal field, sure. But at Yankee Stadium, left field is basically center field. Mm-hmm. That right field, that's where you want to live right there. We should honestly, Giancarlo Stanton, if he's going to play the outfield this year, he should just play right field. It is a very easy right field to play. Let's just put Judge in center. Let's just do it. Let's get nuts with it.
Why not? Like, who's going to hit it there when you've got like a 12-foot tall behemoth out there?
Yeah.
He's going to get to any ball.
Judge, Aaron Judge games in center field this year. Say over under 30.
Under.
Yeah, they've been running him out in center field.
You know,
lot,
Brett Gardner's coming back, so there's no reason.
Okay, I'm just,
there's no
season
reason.
Starts in a week, Allison. It sounds like this might
there's
be
still time.
It
there's
sounds like
time,
this might be a little bit of denial going on. There's a week left.
No, there's a lot of denial going on. This is very, very accurate. Not just a little, a lot. But I will tell you this:
Aaron Hicks is looking trim. They might not need him if Aaron Hicks stays healthy. I don't know.
Is he drinking his milk, though? That's the question. He's not drinking his milk. Osteoporosis. Brett Gardner.
Are we giving Aaron Hicks osteoporosis right
no,
now? That's
I'm just
the
saying.
Diagnosis. That's the diagnosis.
I'm just saying, has he drank his milk? Do we know this?
I can't say for sure.
These
I can't say for sure.
That reporters need to be asking.
You want me to scan his Instagram and see if he's put up any stories of him at least eating cereal?
Yeah,
at least,
like,
at the very
check
least.
Check in the background, you know, make sure that there's something like that, or else, you know, hey, Brett Gardner's coming back. No milk equals all Brett Gardner.
Whole milk, though. Skim milk, that's not going to cut it. It's not going to cut it.
Exactly.
You need the whole milk. Whole milk. And Aaron Hicks looks too skinny to be drinking whole milk. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I agree. We'll see.
Yeah. All right. Let's keep moving. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, what do you expect from him this year?
Honestly, I don't even know. I haven't been able to watch quite as many spring training games. I know offensively he's not necessarily a marvel, you know, but he's been doing pretty good stuff. He's been hitting doubles. He's been, he seems to stay on the ball pretty well. Defensively, I definitely like what I'm seeing so far. It just makes me feel a lot more comfortable of when there's a simple ground ball to second and you want to turn a double play and you're like, okay, I actually feel good about it. So,
yeah.
But offensively, I'm not really sure what to expect. I'm sure you might know a little bit more than I do.
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa is just the definition of average, the definition of an average hitter. It reminds me, Gleyber Torres was getting ripped apart yesterday for it was the night game where he took that chopper and he just took forever to get to it and didn't even get the out at second base. He was getting torched for that one. Torched.
Welcome to New York.
Yeah, welcome to New York. All right, let's skip Kiner-Falefa because there's really nothing interesting about him in any way, shape, or form. He's
except
just a placeholder,
which is IKEA falafel.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what John Sterling comes up for that guy. Can't wait.
That's gonna be so. What would he say?
I really like. I might watch until Isaiah Kiner-Falefa hits his first home run. I might watch the games on mute and listen to the radio broadcast instead, even if it doesn't line up perfectly, because it's kind of like, I have to know what is John Sterling's call.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, that is the best part of the beginning of every year is as these new players are coming in, you know, that he's going straight to the drawing board and he's like, okay, what can
but there's,
I say for this?
There's some easy ones like Josh Donaldson. That's going to be an easy one for him. He's going to be able to get that. No problem. And even I could probably come up with a good home run call for Josh Donaldson, but Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, there's a lot of syllables there. It's a lot of syllables. Are you brainstorming? Are you brainstorming already?
It's really, really difficult. Yeah. You know, I trust in John Sterling, trust in Susan. They'll come up with something great, and they have a bobblehead this year, so they have to come up with something great.
Oh yeah, I think the bobblehead day is on my birthday too. I might have to go.
Oh my god,
I might have to go
that's
to the
so
game.
Great.
Yeah, I might have just accidentally told everyone when my birthday is, and I notoriously hate telling people when my birthday is.
Oh, it's okay. I'm gonna forget, so it's
good.
Fine.
The people won't though, Allison. The people won't forget. All right, let's keep moving. Josh Donaldson, third base. How are
we
feeling?
I know at this point what to expect from him. And
what's that?
It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I hate to say it, but it's pretty good. I think you're absolutely right. Defensively, good upgrade. Offensively, so far this spring, obviously he hit his first home run. Looked good, looks good out there. Just an intense guy. And yeah. I don't know how I'm going to feel about him. Not really going to root for him, I don't think. But, you know, if he helps the Yankees win, then I'm going to kind of thaw out a little bit. Yeah.
Here's a good bet. How deep into the season do media outlets start running with the Josh Donaldson is being like a bad teammate? Like, oh, he's calling Gleyber Torres out in front of everybody. Like, when do they start with that bullshit? Because it is, in fact, bullshit.
About a month, because the Yankees usually struggle in the first month of the season. They're pretty notoriously 50, or I'm sorry, 50. They're notoriously a 500 record the first month of the season. That's just what they do. So I'm going to say at the end of the first month, they're going to start doing that, being like, what's the problem? Is there a problem with the clubhouse chemistry? Oh, that's right. This guy's there.
Yeah, so, the new guy. It must be the new guy who's very outspoken. Yep. It must be him.
He has a bit of a reputation, so I'm sure they're just going to feed off of that. But yeah, I give it a month.
Yeah. You know who we haven't talked about yet, but has looked mighty good this spring?
Who?
Kyle Higashioka.
Yeah, Higgy. Also, a lot of the Yankees players have said that Kyle Higashioka is like the person they would run to that they trust the most. Have you seen those TikToks or those videos that the Yankees have posted?
I saw the one where they were asking, like, who would you let babysit your kids? Oh, yeah. Was everyone saying Kyle Higashioka?
A lot of people in the end were saying Kyle Higashioka. The most surprising one was your teammate for the zombie apocalypse. And they were like, Higgy, immediately.
Really?
Yep. I guess
you're in the zombie apocalypse and you're like, no, Stanton, get out of here. Judge, get out of here. Gallo, no, I don't think so. Rizzo, no, it's just not going to cut it for me.
Nope.
Let me get Higashioka.
Kyle
that
Higashioka.
Guy.
Aaron Judge said Kyle Higashioka. Okay.
Well, Aaron Judge is already huge on his own. He doesn't, yeah, need, but he's he got doesn't G. need another big guy.
He's got G if he wants him, you know? But apparently,
if you're doing a zombie apocalypse team for the Yankees, you need a big guy and you need a small guy. What if you need to get into a small space?
So the reason for Higgy, because they basically asked, they're like, why is everyone picking Higgy? And they essentially were like, well, he plays a lot of video games and he's very strategic, you know, like very smart guy. So plus he can play the guitar. He can serenade the zombies.
Oh, yeah. There it is. You can definitely serenade zombies. I thought you were going to say you could serenade your zombie apocalypse partner to make them forget that they were in the zombie apocalypse. But no, the zombies. Yeah, Kyle Higashioka can quell zombies. You heard it here first. Yeah, breaking news.
That must be why.
This is the first time we've ever broken news.
I am quite pleasantly surprised by what we've seen from Higgy. I personally didn't think that he had it in him. And I was a little concerned about him being basically the starting catcher. However, he stepped up to the plate literally and figuratively, and so far so good. But
yeah,
I guess I shouldn't have been too surprised. I don't know. I just feel like that having that role of starter weigh on you can be a lot of pressure. I mean, i.e. Gary Sanchez, you know,
physically it's going to demand more of Kyle Higashioka. And we always knew the power was there because we have a running joke for like 3 years that every time Kyle Higashioka actually hits the ball, it leaves the ballpark. The problem is he doesn't actually hit the ball all that often. So I think he hit under 200 last year.
It was like his first real full year. It was like 8 at bats, 8 home runs. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, he had like 6 or 7 home runs in his first 15 plate appearances.
Right.
And then it calmed down after that. But the power was always there. Always had the power. It's just he didn't never actually made contact with the ball. It's hard to hit a home run when you whiff on it. I've heard, you know, I'm not a scout.
I've seen inside the park home runs. I've seen, you know, people get a home run on a pass ball.
That's absurd.
There's ways.
That's absurdity. Kyle Higashioka, he looks pretty good. He looks pretty good. And if
he does,
we'll see how Gary Sanchez does in Minnesota. And if their offensive numbers are kind of borderline in the same vein, maybe like within 10 weighted runs created plus, I think the Yankees might have won the trade, even just by getting rid of Gary. And you know, I'm a Gary defender. We both are Gary defenders. We have loved Gary Sanchez from the moment he came up. We thought all the criticism he got was, I'm not going to say unfair, but maybe disproportionate. Yeah. I think disproportionate is a fair way to put it for Gary Sanchez. And I'm sure that had an effect on him, knowing that he should have been doing more, trying to do more at the plate, striking out the pass balls. It's got to be tough on him mentally. So he gets out into Minnesota, he gets into a better situation, a team that's probably not going to be in the postseason. But you see what happens. You see what happens. Maybe he has a resurgent offensive year. And in that case, I won't regret the Yankees trading him, because it was clearly never going to happen here for Gary Sanchez.
I feel like New York just was not his place. And if he does have a great season, I'm going to stand up and applaud as best I can, because good for him. You know,
I hope Clint Frazier has a fantastic season. I hope Clint Frazier hits 20 tanks. I want that for Clint. He went through a lot, and it was not fair to him at all. For Gary Sanchez, at least, like, the criticisms were fair. For Clint Frazier, I mean, this guy, he battled through so much just to get back on the field, and he was never right after he ran into that wall. I hope that he is a fantastic season for the Cubs. I'm low-key going to be kind of rooting for the Cubs a little bit. Low-key, just a little bit, just for Clint.
Well, he also said, too, that he kind of dealt with another concussion last year. And, like, he, you know, went to the news outlets and stuff. And, you know, I kind of figured that. I kind of assumed that because he wasn't really talking about it, like, he really didn't want anyone to know. But at the same time, I had an idea. Like, you kind of know the signs and whatnot. But with Gary Sanchez, I find two things funny. One, the fact that obviously everyone was so excited that, you know, the Yankees got rid of Gary Sanchez, got back Josh Donaldson. They're like, who cares? Let's eat all the money. And then the Twins turn around and use that money to get Carlos Correa, which, hilarious. I think it's so funny. Like, you know, at first I was like, you've got to be freaking kidding me. But it happened, and it was funny. So I'm going to laugh at it.
I have to say something about this Carlos Correa situation. I'm starting to think maybe the Yankees dodged a Correa bullet. I'm starting to think that, because the Twins got him with opt-outs. So it's basically a one-year contract for Carlos Correa. Oh, yeah. Are you telling me that there were no other major teams, contending teams, even like the Seattle Mariners? Their shortstop's J.P. Crawford. J.P. Crawford. Are you telling me that Seattle Mariners wouldn't be willing to give Carlos Correa that $300 million contract? There had to be something in the medical reports about Correa's back. That's what Max said. It's always been the back for Correa. There had to be something that scared off these teams to say he's a perfect fit for the Yankees, but they won't give him a contract. The Tigers offered him $275 million. I don't know what the Tigers were thinking. That was different than everybody else, but are you saying that Carlos Correa couldn't get a better deal than $275 million? That's the best he could get from the Detroit Tigers. Nobody else wanted to bid on those services. Look at what the Dodgers just paid for Freddie Freeman when they already had Max Muncy at first base.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Man, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. But
might have gotten the good end of that deal.
Okay. So that was one. I have another. I think it's very funny that I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that Gary Sanchez and his BFF, Sonny Gray, are now on the same team.
Yes, they are. The Twins got Sonny Gray, too. Perfect spot for him, too. So he actually, he's been Sonny pretty good.
Sonny Gray's
lately.
Like, I thought I didn't have to deal with this guy anymore. Now I need another personal catcher, damn it.
Listen, it wasn't a Gary Sanchez problem. It was a Larry Rothschild problem.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Everything is Larry's fault. Everything is always Larry's fault. Living like
Blame
Larry.
It on Larry. Always blame Larry.
Did he get another coaching job somewhere?
I have no idea.
I don't think so. Because the Padres just dumped him, and I don't think he got picked up anywhere else. I think everyone else was like, you know what? We've had enough of Larry. We've done this enough times.
Yeah, for sure. Nope, not really sure. But yeah, I found those two things pretty hilarious. The second one, especially, because I was like, wait a minute. Wasn't there an issue with Gary catching Sonny? And I'm like, oh my God, he's got to do it again.
There was an issue with Gary catching everybody.
Well, yeah,
everyone except CeCe. CeCe was the only one who came out and be like, I love throwing to Gary. And Luis Severino liked throwing to him too. Except Luis Severino hasn't pitched in two fucking years. Who knows how much he's going to pitch this year, because he's already going through general arm soreness trying to ramp up. I would say if I got 100 innings out of Severino this year, I'm going to be happy. That's going to be good for me.
Right. Exactly. But yeah, anything else vital on your end?
Let's get the outfielders quick before we run out of recording time. Aaron Judge, does he finally win an MVP this year?
Probably not this year, but
it's coming.
See next year. I feel like there's a lot going on in his mind right now, and you know, with the extension, with all that fun stuff. But I think he'll definitely produce and he'll definitely be good. It's just I don't think he's going to have an MVP caliber season.
Oh, of course. Aaron Hicks, are we expecting anything out of him in particular?
So I think everyone has very, very, very incredibly high expectations for Aaron Hicks, which I totally understand because, you know, he's coming back. He looks good. You know, he kind of seems like he's in a good place mentally as well. But like, man, every year we have this, you know, anticipation and it just gets us. So yeah. I'm not really sure what to expect. I don't want to expect too much from him. So I'm going to be cautiously optimistic going into this season.
Yeah, I don't think it was good for him to go down to the DR over the winter to play. I don't think his DR numbers were really all that good. I remember looking at them one time and I think it was only halfway through the stint he was doing, but he was like, I think it was like 3-for-15 at the plate.
Yeah,
that's not great. It's not what you want, as Joe Girardi would say. It's not what you want. But I don't know. Right. I'd like to see a full season out of Hicks. I don't want to get into the situation where we don't have a center fielder besides Aaron Judge. And in which case, maybe Gardy finally gets the call. We don't know. We never know. Maybe he's a late season acquisition. We pick him up in like September and he has a magical postseason. That's the Brett Gardner story that we deserve personally for us.
That's the Brett Gardner story everyone deserves, because then that man can go out on
top. No, you know what? I'm going to say no to that. I'm going to disagree. The disrespect that Brett Gardner has gotten over the last few years, I don't think some people deserve that Brett Gardner story.
You're right. And you know what? I'm going to end up tweeting at that point, and I do this all the time. Yo, listen, you guys are all mean to Brett Gardner. You can't cheer for him. And then people are just going to do it anyway, because they're like, I believed in Brett Gardner. I have the screenshots to prove that they did.
Screenshots are forever, bitch. Yes. I got
so
them.
So is Brett Gardner in a Yankees uniform. Forever.
He could do that for years. He just like,
oh yeah,
he starts getting ready in July, August, gets a few like AAA at bats just to brush up, and then September goes on a magical postseason run. What is this?
I could see him in AAA.
I don't know. Would Gardner go to AAA? Is that something that Brett Gardner would do? I don't know.
That would be so cool.
That would be a ramp up for me. That's like, all right, like we need a center fielder and Brett Gardner hasn't played, but we need to get him like at least, I don't know, 50 at bats before we can put him on the major league roster. Let's just put him in the AAA lineup every day and then call him up. I set you up for such great disappointment right there. I'm just saying,
okay. I just want to let you know that I already bought my tickets for the very first week of Syracuse Mets games and they're playing Scranton. So, Brett,
I regret putting that thought in your brain, because I'm going to feel bad when it doesn't happen. I'm like, damn, I got Allison's hopes up. Yeah. And yeah, now she's
well, I have to also Gardner. Say that Aaron Hicks also had a very memorable stint on the R2C2 podcast. You know, they asked what the team motto should be this year, and it was have some fuck you. And I think
God, Allison's cursing so much today.
I kind of have to. Yeah. So
well, that's a quote. That doesn't count.
Obviously the shirts have been made, you know, and you know, all that fun stuff. But like, man, this is why I love baseball season. Everything gets made into a shirt and it's always hilarious. And everyone's like, what does that shirt mean? And you're like, you wouldn't get it. It's an inside joke.
That also reminds me, Nestor Cortez Jr. donated Bronxy the Turtle to a youth center.
Yeah!
Good for him. Doing it for the kids. He would have loved to keep Bronxy, but I'm sure his family was like, I don't know if he's married. Maybe his wife was like, yeah, can you get this fucking turtle out of our house? The season's over. Get the fucking turtle out of here. And he donated him to the kids. The kids have Bronxy the turtle now.
Awesome. And then last but not least, well, I guess two people in the outfield, but Giancarlo Stanton or Joey Gallo.
I'm expecting Giancarlo Stanton to have a fantastic year and not get enough credit for it. And I'm expecting Joey Gallo to drive old Yankee fans up the fucking wall. And at the end of the season, you're looking like, wow, Joey Gallo had an 830 OPS. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
They're not going to appreciate it until the season's actually over and they'll look back and say, wait a minute, actually, he wasn't as bad as I originally made him out to be, because that's what they do.
You know what I saw that was really funny? I think it was a Lindsay Adler tweet comparing Joey Gallo and Matt Chapman and like Yankee fans' reactions to them. The Yankees were, oh, go get me Matt Chapman. We need a third baseman. Go get me Matt Chapman. And then those same Yankee fans were like, this Joey Gallo sucks. He strikes out so much. And then you look at the stats and it's like, yeah, well, Joey Gallo and Matt Chapman both hit about 200. They both had about 200 strikeouts. And guess what? Joey Gallo had more home runs. He produced more offense. Do you want Joey Gallo 2 in your lineup? The lesser. Although the third base defense would probably be pretty nice.
So you want a good pickup line?
Oh, no. Oh, no. All right. Hit me with it.
What's my name? Well, it's not Joey Gallo because I don't strike out.
Oh, got him.
Baseball pickup lines. Tis the season.
Man. Yeah, I'm going to hop on the dating apps and start trying that one out.
Oh, my gosh. You should actually just do only baseball pickup lines. Only baseball pickup lines. I'll come up with a ton for you.
Yeah, I think that's probably gone on my last date if I try that.
What?
No, I'm kidding. It's a great line and it'll work really well on Yankee fans and nobody else.
Right. Well, or anyone that really understands baseball, because it's a kind of more of a, like a negative, you know, connotation for Joey. Because
And let's be honest. Could I even date somebody who wasn't into baseball? Would it even work? The amount of baseball that I watch?
I mean, I'm doing it.
That's true. That's true. And it works for you. But
it works for me.
He is a partial Red literally Sox fan. He has an quite invested funny. Interest.
He'll literally like put on the game for me and then he'll disappear. And I'm like, did you just put on the game so you could go play your games? Like go gaming? And he's like, yeah.
Like, perfect. That works for me.
This is great. This is great. I love it.
All right. I think we'll end it there on that pickup line. We won't talk about the rotation because we already know the rotation is going to be nasty because Gerrit Cole and Nestor Cortes Jr. and Jordan Montgomery.
Nasty Nestor.
I can't believe that Nestor Cortes was like an inside joke for the Yankee fans. And then he goes to Seattle. He's terrible. He gets cut. And then he comes back to the Yankees. He's awesome. And now we're like, this might be one of the best fifth starters in the league. Our rotation's got to be nasty. Right. Nasty Nestor is unbelievable. And all the video compilations of him doing his hesitation windups, like the one with Shohei Ohtani, where he literally called timeout to laugh. I love that. I love that for Nestor. Yeah, but we'll talk some rotation next week. And I think next week when we record, maybe we record on Thursday next week too. The season.
We'll see. So it's interesting because I bought tickets for the whole first week of minor league baseball. And I literally sat there tonight and I was like, hon, like, I don't think I can make it to Thursday's game. He's like, why? And I was like, it's opening day. And he goes, no, that's Tuesday. I said, no, it's Thursday for the important stuff. And he's like, oh, okay. You should just bring your tablet and watch baseball while you're watching baseball. And I was like,
that sounds
like the dream.
Yeah. This guy just gets you. He just gets you.
I know. Isn't it crazy?
It's just, I want to go play video games. Let me turn some baseball on for Allison.
You stay here.
We're set.
It's so strange. He'll basically be like, okay, can I get you anything? And I'm like, oh my God, that's so sweet. Of course. And then he disappears. And I'm like, this is also on me. It takes me like an hour to figure it out. And I'm like, wait a minute.
I don't think he came back with anything for me.
Oh, well. Oh, no. He makes sure I have more than enough to be set on the couch for the rest of the evening. But then I realize I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. You got a conflict with two baseball games? Watch them both. Watch another one after that. You go do you.
Yeah, exactly. Now, tis the season to be out at bars in the evening and have to watch the game on my phone or sit at the bar and ignore everyone talking to me so I can watch Aaron Judge hit a home run. You know, this is the good stuff. This is the good life.
This is where careers are made, when you're watching the phone, watching the game on your phone at a wedding. That's when careers are made right there.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Or at church. I've done that. It's okay. Don't tell my mom.
That's a good one. That's God's baseball stadium. All right. We'll wrap it up there then. And we'll see y'all next week.
All right. Sounds good.